Hi, it's good to see you all here. I see even some faces I don't really know, but you're in disguise, aren't you, with masks on and things. So good to see you. How are you feeling today? You are allowed to speak. They can't stop us speaking. How are you feeling? Are you okay or feeling a bit iffy? Bearing up. Any other comments? Good. Excellent. Good, good, good. Well, I was... you're not going to have the sermon that I prepared. This is the first time I've ever done this. I've been preaching for many, many years, but this is not the sermon I prepared, and it's not the one on the website. Okay, so, but I woke up with two words in my head this morning, and I really felt that I've got to go with what God is saying to me. So I looked up the two words. I had a conversation with my husband yesterday after the announcement, he was not very happy, and I was a bit low because of, you know, it's a bit of a knockback, isn't it? No? You, please make noises at me. I can't see you, but please make noises at me. Thank you. Sheep noises coming from my husband. Bar followed by humbug because Christmas is coming. Anyway, so, Don's not very happy because he has enjoyed being with the band. He's enjoyed, again, being able to take up the guitar, get together with his friends, and come and help lead worship or be involved in some of the recordings. It's really, I think it helps when you've got a focus, doesn't it, you know? He's retired, so this, you know, he just sits around all day otherwise, so he doesn't really. So, but for me, it's like, oh, that's okay, isn't it? Because I'm semi-retired. I work mostly from home, rarely out, rarely here on a Sunday, I'm quite antisocial, so it's not really bothers me that I can't see people, so it's fine. I mean, there are some downsides, I'm joking about that. I do miss people, I miss the face-to-face, but for the most part, it's okay. My biggest anxiety, and I have to pray about this a lot, is my pension pot, because with the crash, I don't think there's going to be anything left to live on when all this is over and I retire. But we'll hit that when we come to it, and God is my provider. So anyway, this morning, I woke up with two words going round and round in my head. So I'm going to talk to you about these two words because I think this is what God wants us to know. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
What are these exciting two words? Take heart. Take heart. So I looked up in the Bible and I found where these words occur. And it's right at the end of the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. And so I'm going to read this to you now, and it will come up on the screen. Kim has been lovely because she's just altered my bit here, done lots of work before the service. And John says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Would you like some peace?" Because this is a turbulent world we live in politically. There's lots of stuff going on, and we need peace, don't we? So this is Jesus' promise. "I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." Does this sound familiar?
Yes.
Is there trouble? Is there? Yes, there's trouble. But he says then, "But take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus says this all that time ago. Take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
No matter what's going on, Jesus has overcome the world. He is still in charge. The same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is still in charge. There is a heavenly Father. This is his earth. We are still his people. And I'm going to preach backwards today. So I'm going to go and take you to the previous verse, which says this, verse 32, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home." Does that sound familiar? It is the word for today, people, or rather the word for Thursday. Anyway, so that's what it says. See, this isn't the first time this has happened. And I was hearing somebody speaking yesterday at a conference. Yes, I was at a conference in my bedroom. And he was talking about, you know, this is unprecedented. The churches have never had to go through this before. But they have, you know. This is not the first pandemic. Did you know that? There have been lots of pandemics before. The church has been forced to close before now. They have been forced to find other ways to be church when you can't do church. This is nothing new. And, you know, a while ago, I was listening to somebody, and they coined this phrase, and I thought, this is interesting, because they talked about the pandemic in terms of being a biological persecution. This is like a biological persecution of the church. There is a pandemic that stops us doing church in the normal way. So I thought about that, and I thought, well, what can we learn then about the church being persecuted? What can we learn? And over the millennia, the churches have been persecuted. And today, there is more persecution of Christians than ever in the history of the world. And yet, you know what happens when people are persecuted? Churches grow. The church, when it was persecuted in China, grew exponentially. This is what happens. Churches grow under persecution. When they are stopped from being church or doing church, they grow. They find ways to grow. So how do they do that? Well, one of the things they do is they meet together whenever and wherever they can. And this happens now, risking life and limb. And we can still meet together. Thanks to technology, we can still meet together. We can still be church, even though we can't do church. Isn't that exciting? In this day and age, we can get together. And if you want to hear what this is about, listen to my sermon on the website, okay? Because that was what I was going to talk about, how we should be gathering together, not just on Sundays, but during the week, just like the early church did, every day, take opportunities to meet together and to encourage one another, to stir each other up to faith, to love and good works. This is what it means to be church. So I'm going to take you backwards even further now to the first verse of John 16. And he says this, "All this I have told you so that you will not fall away." And there is a temptation when we're split up, isn't there, to fall away. And then he says this, "They will put you out of the synagogue." Does that sound familiar? Yes. See, this is nothing new. Jesus is preparing his followers for getting together, for being church, for growing, for thriving, not just surviving, at a time of persecution. They will throw you out of the synagogues. They will scatter you into your homes. And let's go back a bit more, because he's saying, "I've told you all this stuff so that you can take heart, so that you will have peace." So what has he been telling them? Let's go into the previous chapter and verse 5. It's a very familiar passage, but I think it has so much to say to us even today. See, Jesus knew this was going to happen, and this is written for, I really believe God woke me up with these verses because you need to hear this and I need to hear this. Amen? Amen. Jesus says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches." You are the branches. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we have to remain in Jesus. We may not be able to remain together, but there's nothing that can stop us. Nothing can separate us from Jesus, from remaining in him. The only thing that can stop us from spending time with Jesus, for being with him and in him, do you know what that thing is? It's you, it's me. That's all that stops us from remaining in Jesus. "Apart from me," he says, "you can do nothing. And if you remain in me, you're like a branch." Sorry, "if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers." Persecuted church do not rely on the faith of each other, because they can't. They have to rely on their faith in God, their relationship with God. Now, when I've read this verse previously in a different context, it felt like, you know, you'll be like a branch that's withered and it's going to be burned. It felt like a judgment, you know, like that is the punishment for drifting away from me. But today, I really see this as a consequence. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away. We wither on the vine if we stop our communion with Jesus, if we stop our relationship with Jesus, if we stop having time with Jesus, if we get distracted by other stuff, if we get too busy, we are withering on the vine. So we need to invest in our time with Jesus. He goes on to say, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done. How do we ask? How do we ask God for stuff? We pray, don't we? And I just say, if there's ever a time when we need to get on our knees and pray, it's now, isn't it? Don't you think so? We need to be a people of prayer. We need to cry out to God for our nation, our health. We need to cry out to God for our world. This world has drifted so far away from God's ideal that it's frightening. If you look at the racism that's rampant at the moment, if you look at our attitude to foreigners and people trying desperately to get away from horrible situations, that is so far from God's heart, you know? God reaches out. You can just read the Old Testament especially, and God's attitude to those who are alien and trying to find respite in another country. Our heart is so far from God's heart. Our country, our world is so far from God's kingdom. Don't you think so? And how can that change? Only by prayer. Only by praying in God's kingdom. So let's join together. Let's come together and pray. We are not allowed anymore for a while to come together and worship together in the mornings as like this. But you know, we are allowed still to come together individually and pray. And this church has been open all the time, 2 till 4, for people to come and to pray. And it's not going to close. Okay, that's going to carry on. And I would encourage not just the 6 people who normally turn up, because I think this is a time when we all need to turn up, don't you? We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for one another that we take heart. We don't lose heart. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. Sorry, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. This is key. We just need to remain in the love of Jesus and take heart. So, I just want us to take that on board. Ourselves to actually take heart. Don't look around you at what's going on. Remember that Jesus is still the same. The world is still in God's hands. He is still Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just want to say to you all, take heart. Amen? Amen. So I have discovered this morning a song that I would like you to listen to. Because it's really encouraging. Guess what it's called? Take Heart. Okay. So I'd like us now to pray. And if you're able, I'd like us to stand to pray. And I just want you to respond occasionally with these words that are going to come up on the screen. They're quite familiar. They're from a familiar prayer. Okay. So when I take a breath, or when you feel appropriate, you can just pray that all the way through. I don't care. So let's pray. In Psalm 24, it tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that the earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And we pray, Lord, together, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Lord, we cry out to you for our world that is so corrupt. The rich get rich, the poor get poorer. There's oppression, there's greed. And Lord, it's so far from your kingdom. And Lord, as your people, we cry out to you and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We cry out to you for our church, Lord, that you will draw us together in ways that you have never drawn us together before. As they separate us into our homes, we pray that you would help us to eagerly and enthusiastically find ways to come together as your people. And not just to survive, but to thrive. Lord, help us to grow through this biological persecution. And may your kingdom come and your will be done. And Lord, we cry out to you against this disease. Lord, we pray that you would do whatever you need to do to open our eyes to whatever you need to open our eyes to. That you would change in us and the world around us the things that you want to change. That you would burn away the rubbish in our world. And we pray, Lord, again, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, grow us as your people. Make us shining beacons of your light. And Lord, use us to make your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen. Please sit down. On your chairs, you should have a little red bead. Do you have a little red bead? I hope so. It's very pretty. And we want you to be able to take that home with you. And it's to remind you that despite you, that us, we are scattered, that we are all part of one thing. Next week is Remembrance Sunday, and Rob is going to be doing an online thing on Remembrance Sunday. But do you remember a few years ago, there were poppies? There were poppies on, what was that place called, Don? Tower of London, sorry. I get very nervous. My brain seizes up when I get up here. But the Tower of London. Do you remember the poppies on the Tower of London?
Absolutely.
Thousands. I don't know how many poppies there were. Anybody know how many?
Lots.
Oh, it's official. There were lots. And one of our congregation, actually Rob, he has a poppy. He has one of those original poppies. And you know, on its own, it doesn't look like much, actually. It's nice, but it's not that fantastic. But you know, when all those poppies got together, they looked amazing and stunning, didn't they? They really made a splash, right? And you know, that's what we are. I want you to think of those poppies that represented blood, you know? And we are all people who represent the blood of Jesus, aren't we, together?
Amen.
And we can, together, despite our separation, we can be united. And you know, we don't have to wither on the vine. Take heart. We can thrive and we can grow through this persecution. Amen?